I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me in the other Stockholm. Stockholm, Wisconsin, that is, set in the heart of Wisconsin's River Road, for a visit with Kristen Smith Proctor, who lives in a century-old brick schoolhouse and owns Skandahoo, a Nordic style with a kick gift shop, and Alan Nugent, owner of the legendary Stockholm Pie Company and General Store, where his homemade pies have received praise from USA Today and Gourmet Magazine. The village of Stockholm is just an hour and a quarter from St. Paul, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and it claims a permanent population of less than 80 people, but the population burgeons during the summertime with tourists and seasonal residents. Every July, more than 10,000 visitors show up for the annual Stockholm Art Fair. During the spring and fall, thousands of birders flock to Wisconsin's River Road communities to experience North America's largest annual bird migration. Come along and join us on the River Road in Stockholm.
This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
The Highway, the Flyway.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Wisconsin. We're along the River Road, huh?
The Great River Road.
Yeah, super great, which means the Mississippi.
The mighty Mississippi.
And yes. What town are we in right now?
We are currently in Stockholm, Wisconsin.
And your name is?
My name is Kristen Smith Proctor.
And you live here?
I live here. I'm a lucky devil that gets to live here.
And I heard rumors and I saw pictures. You live in a schoolhouse, old brick schoolhouse.
Built in 1905. It was existing school right up until 1963. Uh-huh. And I was born in 62. So I was 1 year old. Friends that I have in the area that even still went to school there. Right across the street from where we are now, we have the Stockholm Museum, which has an awful lot of history about that schoolhouse. Still has the existing stairway to the second level. It's about 5,000 square feet. It's a beauty. Original bell, still there.
This is a riverfront town.
Riverfront town.
Towards the end of summer. And it's so busy. There's so many people here. All the shops are doing quite a trade. And yet you told me the year-round population here is something like 66.
66 people.
66, not yep. 266.
No. Our 2010 census was 66 people that do live here year round.
That doesn't mean that's the sum total of people see in town, right?
No. We're a popular day trip destination.
Year round.
Yeah, year round from Minneapolis, St. Paul, but mainly when the river is open from April until November. Is our busiest time. About 60% of the homes here in this village, and we are a village, Stockholm Village, are second homes. So I'm unusual in that I get to live here year-round.
You don't have to commute to go home.
I don't. Yeah. No.
You originally grew up in La Crosse, which would be the big city compared to here.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah. So what brought you here? Why did you come here?
Actually, I had been working in hotels, either director of sales or human resources in a few different towns along this river road over the last 30 years. Probably the one people would recognize the most as a unique boutique hotel would be the St. James Hotel in downtown Rivertown Red Wing.
And Red Wing, the home of Red Wing shoes.
Beautiful. They own the hotel, too.
Really? Yep. My favorite work boots in the world. Whole another level. One is the river itself. People come to see it and experience it. But one of the draws that I'm just kind of getting to understand is the birds and the flyway. Major migration spot.
It is a draw for people of any age coming from any direction, upriver, downriver, between Trempealeau, Wisconsin, and all the way up through the Minneapolis area. This is considered a huge flyway zone. So we have thousands of different, and I can't tell you all of which ones, but the two that I watch the most are the pelicans, We have a huge pelican migration that happens twice a year.
So they come in and like thousands of them land at once?
They're just amazing. They love all of the thermals that come down off of the bluffs, especially Maiden Rock Bluff and along through here, and they ride the thermals. They stay in the bay areas. There can be thousands on our stone pier right down here that used to service riverboats at one time. Now they service pelicans.
They knew it was for them anyway.
Yeah, why not?
So how many might arrive in any given day or point in time? Thousands?
Oh, easily. Yep. They'll definitely come in flocks. And during the first part of their migration, the river isn't nice. Yeah. It is cold. It is blustery. It's dark looking. I mean, it's really the muddy Mississippi then. And these birds are so huge and so peaceful and so quiet. I can be driving along the road in the village of Stockholm. We don't even have a gas station. So I either have to go 6 miles downriver to Pepin or 6 miles upriver to Maiden Rock, where a lot of the pelicans hang out in that bay. I can pull over on the side of the road and I can watch them in the thermals, and there'll be hundreds in their V formations, and they do figure eights, and you cannot hear a thing. Geese, loud as hell. Not the pelicans.
Yeah. Well, tell us about, like, you get involved in bird counts. Tell us about that and what sort of birds that you count.
Well, another bird that we all, my friends and I, that are really into is the sandhill crane migration. This flyway area, once again, from Trempealeau Mountain. I lived in Trempealeau for a few years, many years ago, and that's when I first heard about crane counts. Some of the locals that are recruited either by the DNR or other factions, certain areas are designated to list calls. When you're doing a crane count, you're out there in the woods, on the lake, in the field, wherever it may
early
be.
Early in the morning.
5 a.m. It's fine. Beautiful. Yeah.
So there you are, dark 30, the sun is even out, and you're out there
watching the world wake up. Uh-huh. First the ducks come. Ducks are always the first, the different levels. And then a lot of times in those positions, you're not going to see the cranes, but you're going to hear them.
So you do sound counts and not physical body counts.
Correct.
Wow.
Yep.
And how do you know you're not counting the same sound guy twice?
It's best guess scenario. Uh-huh. However, if you're stationary, you know, we don't move around in the area that we're at. We come in, we sit, and we don't move. So being able to tell the different calls coming from behind, right, left, above, whether it's a sounding call. The sounding call is very different from the mating call. It's a very distinct primal type of call. I've never heard any other bird that's like it.
So we have a whole motorcycle tours here. That's a real popular itinerary for motorcyclists.
It is.
Yeah, along the Great River Road.
Along the Great River Road, starting from the springtime right up through October.
Now they're making a U-turn here.
Well, they're parking.
Okay, more birds. Tell us about some of the other birds that you really love counting and listening to and seeing.
Listening to, seeing would definitely be year-round. Bald eagles. We have hundreds that mate here, live here year-round. Sometimes the river doesn't freeze all the way in open areas so they can fish. Especially this time of year with all of the eagles. They're really great at catching the fish, but not hanging on to them.
Oh, they keep dropping out.
Yes, they do. The first time, I've lived here 11 years, and every year it still surprises me to be walking down the street with my dogs, and all of a sudden, here's a fish. Where did it come from? It came from the sky.
How funny.
Yep.
Ducks.
Duck, goose.
Yeah, here.
Lots of ducks. Yeah. Different ducks. Mm-hmm. I can't even tell you what kind of ducks.
But you count them. You go out and listen for them, right?
I'm not on a duck count.
Oh, you're not.
I'm not a duck
count. So you're a specialist, then.
I'm a specialist when it comes to the cranes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've been to the International Crane Foundation place in Baraboo, Wisconsin.
Tell us a little bit more about Stockholm.
What I can tell you about Stockholm is we have quite a diverse population of different types of artists.
So it's an artist draw, then, that it follows that there are galleries and places to look at the art.
There is, but we're also makers.
Right.
It's not just a place to show and sell or whatever. We all participate. One thing we started a few years ago was Stockholm Stroll. And we do that the second Friday every month. And different artists, local artists, are featured either at our farmers market or in one of the galleries. Mm-hmm. And it can be anywhere from the written word to photography to printmaking to a lot of landscape art. They're inspired by the river and the area and the bird.
There's a reason why artists come to this tiny little town and settle here, why you came here. And that has to do with a sense of, literal sense of community. Talk to us about the community here and why it works.
That's really close to my heart because that's why I stay. You know, Alan at Abode Pie Shop likes to say, you come here for a weekend and you leave with a house. I fell in love with a house and found a community to go with it. There is such a accepting, diverse doesn't really hit it because we don't have a lot of different races, but a lot of different outlooks and backgrounds. You know, we've all done different things and lived different places and are here because of the energy. One thing that I enjoy is that the food I eat comes from right up the hill. Whether it's my eggs, my chicken, my beef, I don't eat a lot of meat, but all of our veggie farmers, we have so many young couples that have moved into the area and are farming, and that also keeps everything really healthy.
It's really fascinating. You go through parts of rural America, and it's the dying little towns, you know, just sad and tragic, dust towns almost. Not happening here, not happening upriver or downriver.
Great. I'm glad that you've seen it both directions. I'm a little secluded here at times, especially in the winter. But tourism is what helps us stay. It is an industry, but it isn't what keeps us here. I think a lot of times it's hard for people to understand why stores might not be open on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. It's because we work all weekend. You know, we're taking care of everybody else. But also that we have a winter seasonality that we all take breaks, recoup, do our art, and then are ready again for the busy time of the year. It makes it so pleasant. I love the rhythm of that. The rhythm of the river.
There you go. Do you have a festival, a time of the year that is just seminal Stockholm time to come and celebrate?
It is. The Stockholm Art Fair. So a lot of the artists that came in the 1970s and 80s that really got us on the map for a creative community started the Stockholm Art Fair. And it's still going today.
And how many people might
show up? Oh my gosh, there might be 10,000.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, as a person that grew up a few hours away, I mean, I came to the Stockholm Art Fair as a kid, you know. My first fiancé, I can remember riding in a red Fiero up to the Stockholm Art Fair. Yeah, but it's only one day, and our village park is really lovely. Mm-hmm. Old trees, old cottonwoods.
Right on the Mississippi.
Yep, right on the Mississippi.
Do you know how somebody would find out more? Do you guys have a website or something for the town?
We do.
Yeah? Are you going to share?
StockholmWisconsin.org.
Thank you so much for sharing. What a great joy to meet you.
Thank you, Tom. I think I would have to say the same. And my name is Kristen Smith Proctor from beautiful Stockholm, Wisconsin.
I am Alan Nugent, live in Stockholm, Wisconsin, which is about 70 miles southeast of the Twin Cities. It's this magical little village right on Lake Pepin, the Mississippi River.
It's actually a million miles from the Twin Cities.
It is a million miles, and we used to say we're close to home worlds away. Yeah, it really is.
But it is. It literally feels like the nearest city must be 100 or 200 miles away.
And it's an incredible community of people surrounded by unexpected beauty. Most people don't know the landscape exists here like it does. It's almost mountainous.
It is. And that's explained by the lack of glaciation here.
Exactly. We are kind of almost the northern end of the area that was not hit by the glaciers, the Driftless area, which extends all the way down into almost Iowa, Illinois. But we are the upper reaches of that.
So it's a real anomaly then, geologically.
It is. And where we're at with Lake Pepin, which is the Mississippi, but it's also a lake, which is really fun to explain to people.
And that's because of the dam?
It's a natural lake. It was dammed, yes, but by the Chippewa River, which at one time was larger than the Mississippi. So it created a natural dam that now is 22 miles long and about 2.5 miles wide. At one point went all the way to St. Paul. We're talking thousands of years ago.
Wow.
We have our little sliver left.
That's fascinating. These are tiny little Great River Road towns, aren't they?
Every town has a personality. I happen to live in Stockholm, which is just this little jewel filled with little galleries and eateries. And Maiden Rock is just down the road, up the road. It's upriver. It's this wonderful, artsy, kind of hippie, wonderful town. And then Pepin is kind of the older sister of the three.
The more mature.
Yeah, the more mature one. You have all the lodging and nightlife and some great restaurants.
Year-round populations of, 100 people?
Stockholm, its permanent population is 66 people.
But right now, going into the fall, you'd never know it.
There's hundreds upon hundreds in Stockholm at this point. About 60% of the homes are second homes. Mm-hmm. So
we're at a potluck.
We're at a potluck. We are at a west coast of Wisconsin, which is what we lovingly refer to this area as, on Lake Pepin. A community potluck. They happen sporadically and randomly for different reasons, and it should get a Michelin star, these things.
And so the people here at the potluck, some of them are summer residents, some are full-time?
Some are summer. Looking around, most of these people are full-time residents.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it's a real community gathering then.
Oh, absolutely a real community. Even the weekenders are very intrinsic to the community here. But what I'm seeing is mostly people who live here now. And they're all here by choice, which is kind of a shocking and wonderful thought.
What I find most fascinating, every little village and place I've been along here, is the higher consciousness, I don't know quite how to say it, of the people I've met here. It's just such an evolved spirit.
You've really hit on something that the people that are attracted here, it's hard to explain and understand. You know, they talk about there being these centers that attract people.
Right.
And I feel, you know, this is one of those. It brings in creative souls.
Artists, musicians.
The latest influx of people have been tons of advertising people, and we had architects, tons of architects, but it is really, really special.
I think it was you that said earlier, they come here to visit and they leave.
Yeah, careful when you come for the weekend because you leave with a house. It has happened many, many times. It almost happened that way with us. It was a couple visits and that was it.
Yeah, well, there was a woman, Kirsten, I think it was, I met earlier.
Yeah.
She bought a 100-year-old schoolhouse.
Yeah. This huge schoolhouse and has just done miracles with it. But she's one of the few that came upriver. The rest of us are Twin Cities transplants. And that's one of the beautiful things, too, is an hour of beautiful drive. There's no freeway really involved. Hour of beautiful drive and you're downtown St. Paul.
That's fascinating. Instinctively, my sense is this is more of a regional destination.
Oh, completely.
And what a cool international destination it could be in a second.
We see hundreds of people from Sweden every year because they want to see, as we call it, the other Stockholm.
Oh, how funny. So you're a legend over there.
Yes, we are. They refer to it as the small Stockholm. And I don't get that, but we see a lot of Swedes. We see a lot of Europeans. We see a lot of people internationally because in Pepin is the birthplace of Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Oh, there you go.
So we see a lot of people internationally
on
for that.
On their Mecca trip.
Yes, exactly. But we do see a ton of people who have heard about Lake Pepin and come to see it because it is completely magical and unexpected for the Midwest. So
people come here to visit, to just hang out and relax and eat your pies.
Yeah, they definitely come to eat our pies.
And you have a pie shop. You didn't mention that.
We do. I have the Abode Gallery in Stockholm, and also one of the owners with my sister and my partner of the Stockholm Pie Company, which has become kind of a regional, if not national, phenomena.
Really? So you ship some to people?
We don't ship.
Probably people want you to.
They do, indeed. They do, indeed. We've been incredibly blessed by some amazing press, and the Department of Tourism is a huge friend of ours and has been so generous, and Gourmet Magazine, USA Today, the list goes on. It's been unbelievable.
And this is in a creaky wood floral ancient storefront.
Yeah, an old building that was built in 1912 that probably hasn't had much work done to it since then.
I love it. And that's what I'm most fascinated about the Great River Road. Every stop along the way, they tend to be beautiful 100-year-old, whatever, plus minus brick buildings.
And they're very real. They're not
pretense.
They're incredible. Every town has something different and magical, and they're all 6 miles, 7 miles apart. Mm-hmm. You know, they're riverboat distance. Where
that's how they happen, as different little stops.
The riverboats. Yeah. So you used to see the steamboats plying the river all the time, and you still do. We just saw three of the Queen Company boats come through the lake at one time.
Oh wow! Right up front here.
Down, two going up.
Right up front.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Those are the big ones. They overnight.
Yeah, American Queens. And, yeah.
I think a friend of mine owns those.
Awesome. Come to stop in Stockholm.
Yeah, I will. I definitely will.
We have a big stone pier. It was built for steamships.
Very, very cool. Okay, I guess I have to come back.
You do. Absolutely do. And, you know, it's spectacularly beautiful this time of year, but this is beautiful in the winter. When the trees drop and the lake opens up in front of you, and you're not sure if you're on a loch in Scotland or if you're someplace out west. It's truly unexpected and magical.
And you're not leaving?
I don't think we're going to. I think we're pretty majorly in love with this place. Yeah.
Very cool. Okay.
I'm Alan Nugent, and you can check us out with the Stockholm Pie Company at stockholmpieandgeneralstore.com. And look for us at the Pie Plate Cafe in Red Wing, Minnesota.
Red Wing, love it.
Gorgeous, gorgeous town. Yeah. River town.
Thank you, Alan.
I'm Lisa Marshall, and I'm the communications director at the Wisconsin Department of Tourism.
So you have a week off, and you could go anywhere with your boyfriend. Would you go? What would you... Coming into fall.
Right. So, you know, one of the things is people don't realize is that Wisconsin is a top destination for fall color. I mean, we rival anything you're going to find in New England. We have
Do you think part of it is just they beat you at marketing or perception?
Probably perception. Yeah. I think it's about perception. People don't realize we have 16 million acres of forest. The top third of our state is all forest. And we also have a national forest, the Shawamigaun-Nicolet National Forest. I just think our fall color rivals New England, and we have some great, you know, activities and scenic byways and festivals that would make your trip here in the fall even that much spectacular.
Would you recommend like a car tour, you know, renting a car or bringing your car?
Yes, I would say scenic drives are one of the ways to go. Obviously, we have the Great River Roads National Scenic Byway is one of the ways.
That follows the Mississippi, right?
Right. Highway 35, you know, that's, you know, all the way from New Orleans to Minnesota. But we got 250 miles here, 33 beautiful, charming small towns along the Mississippi River, and great outdoor recreation along the way. But aside from that, we also have some state scenic byways. There's the Lake Superior Scenic Byway that follows up in the northern part of the state. You know, along Lake Superior, you're going to find wineries and, you know, again, that small town charm, festivals, the Bayfield Apple Festival, and you got the beautiful Paso Islands National Lakeshore, which is 21 islands off the coast of Wisconsin and the Lake Superior area.
So in your mind, you're thinking like September, October?
Yeah, you know.
Even early November,
right.
Maybe?
Well, you know, the fall color here in Wisconsin, you know, it works its way from the north down to the south. So I would say fall color starts in the northern half of the state, probably mid-September, and it just kind of works its way down south. But I would say by Halloween weekend, I think we're tapped out in fall color. I think
game
that's
over.
Kind of game over, you know. We're done. We're in winter now.
So then you're getting ready to think about snowshoeing.
Right.
And so we might as well touch on going into the winter. You know, what might you do if you came here in December?
So there's a lot of that month of December, there's a lot of celebration, getting into the holiday spirit. You know, again, it's that small town, you know, come to our destination and shop. And
you have some winter festivals happening in December?
Yes, we have Elkhart Lake. We have got the Osthoff Resort, and they do the Old World German Market. Mm-hmm. Draws a ton of people. It's, you know, it's beautiful. They're selling wares from all over the world. It's because they get that whole German market feel. And then I think you go to any resort in the state and you're going to check in. And they're going to have sleigh rides and visits with Santa, gingerbread houses, you know, arts and craft fairs, that time of year.
For further information, if somebody wanted to learn more.
I recommend going to travelwisconsin.com. And if you're interested in the fall color, we have a really excellent fall color report. It's the most comprehensive report that you're going to find at different state parks around the state. So check that out. And then, we got thousands of events listed, and anything you need to know about Wisconsin, you're going to find it on travelwisconsin.com.
Very cool. Thank you so much.
Hopefully, thank you, Tom, for having me.
Oh, it's awesome.
And my name is Lisa Marshall, and again, I'm the Communications Director at the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, also known as Travel Wisconsin.
There you go. And I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Wisconsin. We'll see you up there.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
We'll be right back.